Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And we have a very sunny, warm day here in Vancouver.
Yes, after people complaining for 2 months, where's summer? It's here in full force with temperatures in the low 30s, which would translate for our American friends in Fahrenheit into the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our first question today, and Bob, we have three loyal listeners asking questions today. Our first one comes from Berkeley, California, from Justin. I was wondering what Bob's read on municipal bonds in this environment of increasing rates. My progressively crippled town of Berkeley wants to float a $600 million general obligation bond. It's not a big town, and there are only 120,000 residents, a lot of them students and renters. There's 45,000 households. One council person suggested upping it to $650 million. Why not? Where did this new breed of liberal come from now? Outer space?
Yeah. Well, municipal bonds from time to time is an interesting factor in the market, but with interest rates going up, so have rates for munis. And in a bubble environment, all levels of governments go crazy and raise all kinds of money because they're always ambitious. So you've got, at the municipal level, of course, you've got local taxation, which they'll push to the limit. And then if there's a good enough market, they will raise, money through loans. And if you're at the top of a bubble, that's a disaster. So, I think either an investor, continue to avoid municipals, despite in the U.S. the tax benefit. And then as a citizen, you would encourage your government not to be extravagant. So, but thanks for the question, Justin.
Our next question is from Kathleen. I haven't seen it yet, but I predict that when I open it, there will be a musical reference of some kind in it. Kathleen likes to do that.
Okay, we got Kathleen here. Yep.
Yeah, and there we go. From Kathleen, hello, Jim and Bob. Jerome Powell's latest comments remind me of... I was right. Gordon Lightfoot's song, If You Could Read My Mind. As the lyrics go, what a tale your thoughts could tell, just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstores sell. Well, it seems everyone is waiting for the next plot twist that is in the Powell pivot, as the lyrics go, just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. Powell seems either confused, incoherent, or just evasive. Bob, does Fed Chair Powell know where he's going, or is he flying blind, or as we used to say, by the seat of his pants?
Yep. Kathleen, fun question. Yeah. The central bankers have theories that intervention, and they're very intuitive theories, and it all goes back to the inception of the Fed in 1913 when the powers that be then knew that if you had a financial crisis, it would be followed by a recession. That's the way history has worked, as far back as you want to go. So then the Fed would then have this special ability to be lender of last resort, which would prevent the crisis, and therefore there would be no recessions. So that was the plan. And actually, including the weird one with the global shutdown, there have been 19 recessions since the Fed opened its doors for business in January 1914. So in a critical world, only one failure would have been enough to shut down that idea, but as I said, it's basically intuitive. And so they really don't know what they're doing because their theories are based on intuition. So they think, contraction can be prevented by flooding the money supply. And then if they do that too long, then there's you then eventually depreciate the dollar, so the rate of inflation goes up, and then interest rates go up. But then they're so compelled with this, having to inflate credit, and they also are compelled to try and avoid getting the blame for price inflation. So then they come up with this other gimmick that what they do doesn't raise prices, but what raises prices is the public's inflation expectations. I mean, man, you got to have a degree in tautology for that kind of reasoning. So, yeah, the Fed hasn't a clue because in physics, we have this saying that if you keep your database short enough, it'll fit your theory. But they don't look backwards and say, realize that with the advent of modern finance in the late 1600s, I'll just throw some in, Jim. You had, by about 1670 in London, there were enough publicly traded companies and enough participants to call it a stock market. And then in 1692, John Houghton in London began publishing the first stock market letter in London. And then in 1694, you had the advent of the Bank of England. So there you are, modern finance. So then you had the phenomenon of the great financial bubble, the South Sea bubble of 1620. And then that's been almost perfectly replicated on each one since. 1929 was number 5. The one that blew out in January was number 6. So if one economist was to take all that data, and before you derive a theory, you'd be better informed. And they would look and realize that, hey, there's nothing you can do, Blads. Just keep the currency on a gold standard and let the economy do as best it can. But, Kathleen, it's a very good point that the central bankers are flying blind. There's no doubt about it because they are jam-packed full of theories that are based on intuition, not history. So thanks for the question.
I would say Powell is more that Led Zeppelin song, Dazed and Confused.
Whatever.
Our next question comes from our longtime listener, Michael. Michael Census. Hi, Jim and Bob. Some say that the Swiss franc is safer than the U.S. dollar. Bob, should we hold Swiss francs in the next downturn or stick with the U.S. buck?
Yeah. At one time, the Swiss franc did have the street had a high regard for it. God, I remember that was the early 70s. And the Swissy, and people were trading it and whatnot. But no, it's a interesting currency, but it can't be the prime currency. The senior currency is still the U.S. dollar, and in a post-bubble contraction, the senior currency goes up relative to most other currencies and most other commodities for most of the time, and this is what it's been doing. So one would be, if one's going to keep in cash deposit, of course, you'd be in U.S. dollars. Now, there's another part of the question.
Yes, we have two more parts. So part two from Michael. Also, Russia has tied the ruble to gold, but gold doesn't seem to be responding to that news. People seem to put more faith in Bitcoin, even though it involves a lot of magical thinking. Bob, when will gold be taken seriously as real money?
Yep. Good one. Again, is one of the characteristics of a great financial bubble is the action in gold's real price. And ironically enough, it goes down in the final couple of years of a bubble, such that gold stocks underperform the S&P. And then the gold stocks become vulnerable to the first hit in the stock market, which we have seen all too clearly in the first half of this year. So what one wants to look at is for when gold's real price turns up, and that reflects operating margins for gold miners. What it means is the costs of mining are going down relative to the bullion price. So every post-bubble contraction has had a rising real price of gold, which creates a terrific bull market for gold when all of the other components are not doing so well of the economy, New York Stock Exchange, you know, orthodox stocks and all that sort of thing. So this is ahead of us. And this has to do with real money. And gold is fundamentally money. And in a great financial boom, it loses purchasing power because the S&P flies, stock bonds go up, all that stuff. And then, as I say, in the post-bubble bust, the real price goes up. So the purchasing power of money increases in gold. There'll be, at some time with the great reform that will come underway where the ordinary folk will condemn intrusive governments, they will also demand that that central bankers go on to gold standard to control their issue of credit. So when will it be taken as seriously as real money? As soon as the uptrend starts, which could start somewhere in the fall. So we're watching that closely because, it'll be tied to, people want to get long gold stocks in that condition. So that's ahead of us.
And the third part of Michael's email to us. One last question, Bob. What's going on with gold miner Newmont? Is it in free fall?
Oh, yeah. It got hit hugely. And also there was some concern about some operating division. But I actually, a couple of weeks ago, an email conversation with an executive in the gold mining business who is keeps track of Newmont, and his comment was that they were improving, the management was improving over the last few years, but it just got flushed out. It was down to seriously oversold. Then bang, it got another hit again. So, but one would expect gold stocks to sell off with the hit to the big market that ends the great financial bubble. So, how low is low? We're not, you don't know until you're around the corner. Had the first tested low, and then you're underway. But as we've mentioned frequently, the next bull market in gold stocks will cover everything from the big ones to the exploration stocks. And and I like to point out that you take like an index like the GDXJ, you get a couple of quarters with that not just going up, but outperforming the S&P. There's going to be equity fund managers that will have to get on board because they have to own an outperforming sector. So it's going to be, you know, the bull markets have a tendency to compound upon themselves, and you get through fate where everything adds up for a bull market, and that is ahead of us. So we're looking for a multi-year bull market in gold once it actually bottoms. And thanks for the question. Newmont, is it in free fall? It has been in free fall, but it's probably quite excessive now.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox.
sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Bob Hoy. Some headlines that caught your attention. First headline, borrowers face tens of billions in margin calls on swap positions as rates rise.
Yep. In a great mania, it's not just, although stock market gets the headlines, there's speculative action in the credit markets as well, and swaps are swaps, and there's always going to be somebody that takes it too far, and of course the whole of the fixed income side, at times, with trading desks and while it can be even more leveraged than the stock market. So, it's an example of a reversal in interest rate conditions that has caught a number of traders offside, and it's back to Mr. Margin. And this, of course, is the issue, is that during the bubble, nothing can go wrong, and the Federal Reserve is a genius, and they're there, and they can prevent bad things from happening. But at the end of every great speculative rush, as the prices go down, the real power shifts over to the margin clerks, and they just start blowing accounts out. And there's no amount of effort that the Fed can do to prevent one of these things once they get started. So, the first half was so dreadful in the stock market, you'd expect some kind of sideways or recovery, which we're getting. And on our work, after August, you could head perhaps into another credit problem out there. I don't think it's going to go away, but it's sure fascinating to be along for the ride.
Headline, flood of repossessed vehicles poised to hit the used car market. And as friend of the show Wolf Richter has pointed out in the past, in the U.S., people have been paying insane prices for used vehicles, sometimes paying more for a 5-year-old pickup than they would for a brand new one. And we'll have more on that with Wolf on This Week in Money this weekend. But what about this flood of repossessed cars?
Yeah.
Are we going to get bargains now on those used car lots?
Well, eventually, consider that the global shutdown, lockdown due to COVID was extraordinary. And it is still having repercussions in supply. So then if they may be, well, I talked to a guy who was a consultant to the automobile industry and their efficiencies in their assembly lines. And some of the big ones like Ford or GM, they were running through a complete car produced and out into the parking lot. Then they were taking parts out of that and to put them back in the assembly line to keep everything going. So it was totally insane. So, yes, this is where then you have more of a free market for used vehicles, and they got bid up higher, much higher than they should be. So, anyways, I like this headline because there could be a number coming off of leases and everything's changing, and by the fall people will discover they can't afford anything. Can't afford extravagance, let alone, can't even afford day-to-day things. So unfortunately, a post-bubble contraction is underway and it could become a little more noticeable in the fall.
Headline, Walmart train wreck profit warning sends shares down 10%.
Yeah, huge company. Again, always competitive in pricing and being able to supply goods and services and everything else. But man, in this kind of a market, they got whacked. But the key thing was that a big cap company sells off 10% one day. That's the message there. There is no liquidity out there.
It's not like Walmart's going to go under.
Oh, no, not. No, not. It's going to be a across-the-board bear market continues. And how bad it ultimately gets remains to be seen.
Headline, Germany to cut subsidies to electric car buyers and declares let them sell at their true price.
That one was refreshing. and they're running out of energy. They're having to go back to coal, which is practical. And but then, you know, a few months ago, Biden was saying, oh, if you don't like the high price of gasoline, buy an electric car, as if it was cheaper to run or something like that, and definitely not cheaper to buy.
Yeah, it's not cheaper to buy, but here in Vancouver, we were paying almost $10 a gallon for gasoline.
Yeah.
You know, the EV, if the initial cost wasn't so high, you would buy one. And what's more, if you order one now, it could take 2-3 years to get
it. Oh, yeah.
It. Yeah.
No, it's a general screw-up in every direction. But now, until, I don't know, 1990s or something like that, you couldn't bring a car from the United States, a used car from U.S. into Canada, unless you paid a huge tariff on it. So, but that goes back, and I recall ages ago reading this, is that in 1934 in Canada, the price of used cars and new cars was so depressed that the car dealerships got organized and the government came in so that they couldn't bring used cars in from the States. And that was 1934, and it didn't get off the books until maybe the 1990s. So what the instruction is, Jim, is that wait a little while and the prices will be down and the supply will be increasing across the board. It seems difficult to imagine now, but on previous inflation booms, the comment is along the lines, and it's hardship, because what happens is the cost of living goes up faster than people's wages or earnings go up. So it's very difficult. And from time to time, there can be definite shortages. And then, boom, the market breaks, everything crashes, and consumption goes down. And then there would be headlines about how can there be hardship in the midst of plenty. So what we have now is hardship with rising prices with shortages of supply. And then maybe a year or two from now, it'll be hardship in the presence of plenty. So that's going to be ahead of us, I think. So, but it's not as if anything that's happening now is new. The only thing really extraordinary was the global lockdown due to the COVID hysteria. That was exceptional. But I think that you always go back to the mean, and you've had not just radical financial speculations, but there's also been radical political speculations going on out there. And, oh, yeah, here's the point I like to make, Jim, is that in the final thrust of a radical intrusion by governments, it has to be funded by serious inflation, which is on. But that big boost of currency depreciation and inflation, a portion of it will always go into the voluntary financial markets in which this has happened. Now, that then gets very overbought and very unstable and then starts the contraction. And then that then starts to deprive the government of money to be ambitious. And also with ordinary folks suffering hardship, they then become critical of ambitious and intrusive government. So then you can have a political reform. So let's put it this way, that the crazy bubble in politics resorted to severe inflation. That pops the crazy bubble in financials, then that crashes, and then both radical activities in stocks and bonds and commodities, as well as in the political arena, come crashing down. Now, I'm going to say, Jim, that's somewhere ahead of us, but we're now in a post-bubble contraction, so as this continues, there'll be some fascinating things to watch. And this business about Germany going back to not subsidizing electric cars is a practical move forced by the fact that they're running out of money. So we'll see how this continues.
Bob, something that I saw on the internet, so of course you don't know if it's true or not, but apparently the Trudeau government is thinking about perhaps bailing out people who bought houses at the peak of the market and find themselves underwater as interest rates rise. Should people who speculated on the housing market be bailed out, since they're not going to bail out people who speculated in gold or mining or Bitcoin?
Yep. Good point.
Yeah.
No, government should not be favoring sectors or individuals. Not at all. No, that's a crazy idea. And of course, then the Trudeau government now has suddenly decided that nitrogen in agriculture is a bad deal. So all of a sudden they're going to make it very expensive to raise basic grains in Canada. And of course, this is what the Dutch did. And then there was the problem in Sri Lanka on the same issue. So why this madness comes in, you have no idea, but to suddenly shut down Canada's agriculture, they're not going to fully shut it down, but they're going to impair it tremendously, as they're putting some concept that, oh, these fertilizers, they eventually get into lakes and then they form algae blooms and this is awful. Nope, the farmers around the world have, for decades, have been increasing productivity, and they know how to run their farms and tillage and planting and seeding and all that sort of stuff. And, but this is then, it's just a federal government that is, absolutely crazy control freak. I mean, they're absolutely mad there, because they've done their best to shut down oil and gas. They've done not at all helping out too much with mining. And then now they're assaulting agriculture, which Canada's production is very important in the whole food equation. And while one can study political madness over 4,000 years, and you can say that this, you know, at the moment, Jim, politically, you have the control freaks, and you have the increasing opposition from ordinary folk. And, of course, the control freaks think that anything opposite to their ambitions, they're crazy people. And ordinary folk look at these ambitious governments and say, hey, they're crazy. And there is a very impartial adjudication, and throughout all of history, freedom and prosperity go together, and control freaks and hardship go together. So what's your choice? So the crazies in the equation are the control freaks that are in Ottawa or in Washington D.C. But I just saw an article last night about a political reform that is erupting in Italy. It looks like something serious is going on there. There could be a majority of conservative sides there could be enough there to actually make constitutional changes. So there's movements towards political reform in many parts of the world, and hopefully it can come to U.S. and Canada sometime, which were at one time the traditionally extremely free countries.
Bob, one thing I always wish about politicians, instead of criticizing each other, how about coming up with solutions? If the current government is doing stuff that's bad, what are your ideas to do it better? I don't hear any ideas. I just hear name calling.
Well, in Ottawa, if you introduce the attempt beginning back January with the Freedom Convoy, the attempt to introduce the idea of freedom into Ottawa was just absolutely shocking to them. It was highly offensive. And those who were wanting freedom also, of course, wanted less government. So the Ottawa establishment called them Nazis, who are the opposite of that. So, no, and then you had for the July 1st, the former veteran army guy who walked across the country and got to Ottawa, and again, talking freedom, and that upset them more. And then there'll be other protests, but somehow the Prime Minister's office just doesn't get it. They're on a mode that is anti most anything productivity, anything productive in Canada. They will at one time, sometime take an interest and try and shut it down. Mainly because it's a power exercise.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and let's look forward to next Friday.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob or any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.